Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hour two, Josh Beard in for Vanessa Richardson, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. We were just in the last segment talking about how the Texas A&M Aggies beat UT 10-2. I'm only saying this because I'm surprised by the amount of people that are very animated about the fact that I got the score wrong. Listen, okay, your boy had a weekend.
Paul, you say that every weekend.
Shut up. Second, the text. The final was 10-2 Aggs, not 10-5. Typical media trying to pump up the T-sip
for an orange media conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm an Aggie. I watched the
game.
No,
wait. I don't believe that's a real text.
It has to be.
I don't believe that's real.
I believe it. Are you kidding me?
I don't. That has to be a plant.
I'm going to say something that...
False flag, bro.
A lot of Aggies are probably... Maybe some will agree, but a lot won't. There's a bunch of boobs in our fan base. There's a bunch of morons in our fan base.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant there's like,
No.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Look, I'll go to these games.
I love cheering for the Aggies, and I love Aggie sports. I love my university. I love my alma mater.
Here comes the butt.
There are a lot of idiots in our fan base. And now, I tend to be more on the pessimistic side of being a fan, but there's a lot of just, oh, my God. Like, sometimes you have to be realistic and understand where your team's at and what your team's doing. Like, yes, it's cool that we are now the only person in the Texas A&M rivalry in the College World Series who has a victory. That's awesome. We can hold that over Sean's head for the rest of our lives. But, like, sometimes, like, calm down, man. There's no media conspiracy against the Aggies. You want me to be completely honest, Aggs? Let's have a self-ag moment.
Uh-oh.
We don't matter enough for there to be a media conspiracy against us. When have we? I love that we've got Schlossnagel now. I love that we've got Jimbo Fisher. But when has Texas A&M ever mattered enough in college sports for there to be some conspiracy against us?
Now, I think it's fair to say
now. For
I think
sure.
I think that the Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban thing is a Saban is acknowledging that Texas A&M is at the very least pouring as many resources into their program as Alabama has in years past. And it's very nice to have that kind of oil money to potentially do that. And there's nothing wrong with it. People have gotten mad at me before also.
I know what you're talking about.
When I have suggested
there's the false flag.
Maybe there's some money that's being paid to these players to go to College Station. Who would have thought?
Okay, I'm on the texter side now. This is definitely a burn orange conspiracy.
College Station, vacation destination to you, huh?
Yeah, I do love College Station. College Station is a lot of fun. I know it's like weird because it's right smack dab in the middle of a really dry, hot state. But listen, it's a lot of fun.
This is not me saying it's not fun. I would not say that. Northgate is actually
Northgate's
fun.
Northgate's great.
Northgate is fun. But to explain it to a young kid who is going to College Station in the summer versus where I was this past weekend in Beverly Hills, California, and it was 72 degrees, and I just thought to myself, this is not fair.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. It was so nice. It's just like I'm walking in outside air conditioning.
You have to experience College Station and Northgate to really get it. That's the problem.
I did. I'm not saying I don't like it.
I'm saying you can't just explain it to a kid.
And they're kids. You're going to have to like have some sort of...
Do you want beaches in 70-degree weather? Or do you want to see cow poop all the time and be really hot and sweat?
There's nothing wrong with going out to a bar or a bunch of bars. As someone who likes to do that, I mean, I love Houston and I love it because there's a great bar scene. But it's not like... If you're not just going there, what are you doing? When you're 18, guess what? You're not allowed technically into those places. So it could be a fun place without being an attractive destination, which was always my issue.
You're not
people
an attractive
got so mad
destination.
At me.
Boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted.
So we were talking about trash talk, and I just need everybody to know. Like, I was talking trash to Sean. I like the way Tim Duncan talks trash. I am a petty person. When we were talking about, when we're talking about like trash talking professional athletes, that's like my dream. That was my dream. I didn't want to become a pro athlete because like I wanted the glory and everything. I just wanted to be known as one of the best trash talkers because I'm super petty. And there,
I wanted the glory.
No moment. I know you're a good trash talker, but the problem is you get yourself in trouble with trash talk.
I did.
I'm lovable when I do it. Like I was playing softball, and the way that one of the teams ended the game, they won by one run, and they didn't want the score to revert back to when we had the lead, so they started missing. They started swinging and missing on purpose to strike themselves out to go to a new inning. So after the game, when we were doing like the high fives in a line, like you're supposed to do at lower levels of baseball play, purposely missing all these different high fives, going, oh my bad, oh my bad, bro, oh how does this keep happening? They got so mad at me. I'm like, well, yeah, whatever.
You're violating the sanctity of the handshake
because
line.
They're violating the sanctity of the game by striking out on purpose. But I hate OG baseball rules, but I'm a petty person and I love talking trash. Why don't you love the trash talk?
Well, because one of the last times I talked trash, I got punched in the face.
What?
Yeah, playing pickup basketball.
What? When was this?
This is over 2013, 2014. Like, I've become a lot more quiet when I play because there was this person who looked like, you've seen the movie I Am Legend, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so this guy looked like one of the vampire.
One of the monsters?
Something was wrong with him.
Yeah.
You're
afraid to talk trash right now, and it's been almost a decade.
Okay, he's going to run in here and punch him again.
You're in a safe place. This I have this little mini baseball thing. Bat, and
bad.
I'm here with
in,
you.
Yeah. In retrospect, I feel bad. Okay. He clearly is someone that I imagine deals with that a lot, like people making fun of his appearance, okay? Anyway, we're playing basketball. I'm not that good, but I am good at the defensive side of things. I steal the ball from him. I have what I thought was a breakaway layup. He catches up to me because he's like 6'4",
right,
and tackles me. So me getting tackled and having a hot temper, I got up, grabbed the ball, threw it at him as hard as I could and said, "Watch, you bleeping psycho." Went out to the three-point line to get the ball checked to me. I turn around, punched in the face,
dropped
to the ground, and the guy just ran out. And I had,
he just punched you and just
ran?
Well,
I'm glad he did because he could have killed me on the ground. He took me down with one. Like, I could not see basically out of my left eye.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Like, I was staggered for like 10 seconds. I was like, wait a second, what? Did that just happen? And then I was dizzy as hell. And I was like, shoot, did I just get a concussion or something? And I remember driving home like a block away right after that happened. And like, I could not see out of my left eye. And I was like, oh my God, do I go to the hospital? I had a big swollen left side of my face for, I'm going to say, I'm lucky nothing got broken. But for like 4 or 5 days, it was like really swollen. It's crazy.
Well, he was the aggressive one first. Like, yeah, you said something, but he tackled you during a pickup basketball game.
He was mad.
He was the aggressor first. This is why if you play pickup basketball again, just bring, you would have gotten me in so much trouble if we would have known each other in like college days, like the college age. You would have been the guy that would have been like, yeah, whatever, Buster. And then I don't know why you would have said Buster.
But yeah, that, but we're that being sounds PG. Like me.
Well, yeah, Buster. And then a guy would have tried to fight you, and I would have had to been the big friend that was like, God, not again, Paul. Are you freaking kidding me? This is the sixth time this week, man. There's only so many days.
But you can do it. Like, so in basketball especially, I'm not going to do it because I'm not good.
Right.
You know, like, I can't dribble with my left hand. My shot looks like
So you're KJ Martin.
My shot looks like guess so. My
should request a trade from the Rockets.
Yeah. Like, my shot looks like a trebuchet catapult.
Yeah,
it's like the ugly-ass windup. It's awful. But, like, flag football or something like that, I feel a little bit more confident talking trash. Still, though, I have learned, like, you know what? Probably say a little less more these days, Paul. You're 33. You're not what you used to be. And also, you never know when some rando is going to get pissed off and punch you.
Want to know my pickup basketball trash talk?
What's that?
Because I still play. And the only thing I could still do at a high level is shoot. Like, I could just shoot lights out from a lot of different spots on the court. So I play with all these like 20, like mid, early 20, mid 20 year olds at the gym near my house. And so now my trash talk is elevated because I'm older and I'm fat. I'll be like, you're just going to let a fat guy shoot on you like that? Dude, it's so demoralizing. They're in such great shape. I'm like, bro, I'm 35. And, well, I guess 36 now. But bro, I'm 35 and 80 pounds overweight. How are you going to let me do that to you? And it's the best trash talk in the world.
Best trash talkers in sports. This is just one that we're leaving on the table because it kind of naturally has come to be. 713-780-3776 or times that you talk trash and got in trouble. That actually might be better. 713-780-ESPN. Tweet me at Gallant Says, at Josh Beard Radio. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Coming up next, can a city know how to win? Well, per one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, a city, yes, understands how to win more than other cities. You'll hear him explain as to why next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Times that you maybe bit off a little more than you could chew when it came to trash talk. This could be golf, could be football, basketball, some sport you played in high school.
Back in my more aggressive days, I actually threatened a guy to rip a guy's fingernails off and feed them to him.
Oh.
So he stopped yelling at me real fast.
That would be very
time-consuming. Yeah, yeah. It'd take a bit. Well, that was back.
Did
in
you
my,
have
like,
pliers with you?
No, I would have ripped them off.
How
by
you
hand.
Do? How? Wait, how? That seems like it would be very difficult to grip like the fingernails and rip them off.
This was back in the day when I was lifting weights all the time. I was taking like 60 different supplements, and I had
steroids?
Really bad. It was close to it. I might as well have been. It was like creatine, protein, diuretics,
PEDs.
All sorts of.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, the military didn't allow that.
There's no testing. It was like Mark McGuire. He never failed a drug test.
The military didn't. Good this point, was, Sean. This was my angry military, young, no kids, angry days. Whenever angry Josh got mad at somebody. One time I got mad at somebody when I was doing all that stuff. I got mad that somebody said there were no dragons in Harry Potter, and I broke a desk in half.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
realized
the
afterwards,
Norwegian Ridgebacks.
But
come on.
But then I realized afterwards there are dragons in Harry Potter. It was super embarrassing
yeah,
for me. But
come
this
on.
Was the angry
Norbert,
Josh days.
Bro.
Yeah. People didn't trash talk me much after that, though. Because
yeah. See why. Oh, here's a military veteran. Uh-oh. He's got issues.
He's going to threaten to dismember you. Just it's not even worth it.
The one last one I have, and generally, again, it's always basketball for me.
Yeah, that's the big pick up basketball's bad.
It can get intense because some people don't want the physicality and some people do. I actually don't mind the physicality, right. But there's a certain point. And I remember one time I was playing and there's this larger man who was playing with me. He wasn't very tall, but he was built definitely and looked like he lifted at the very least.
Okay, you can just say Josh. Josh was playing basketball.
Yeah,
with me.
So hang on. We'll get to that part. So anyway, I keep on successfully sliding underneath him and boxing him out. And I'm pretty good at boxing people out despite being a rather wiry guy. He was not thrilled with this, so what he was doing was he was grabbing the back of my neck with his hand.
Whoa.
And like holding it like that, and I turned around and I like hit it as hard as I could, and then what is the most cringeworthy line of all time, I said, "That's my livelihood, bro."
Yes.
Okay,
that's my livelihood.
The story's
man.
Not over though, so I had no idea who this guy was
right
at all. And anyway, a couple of weeks go by, and we actually played basketball again, and we were cool. So, you know, over at the flagship one day, I'm getting ready for work, and who's walking down the hall but the guy?
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I'm like, the hell is going on here? So I know he's friends with Seth. It's Drew Hodgson. He used to play. Yeah, he used to play offensive line for the Texans. And so that could have gone a lot worse. And the funny thing was too, when he was holding the, and again, it was pickup. We were totally fine. But when he held from behind, he had this like maniacal, like, "Are you serious?" like laugh on his face, like about like you think you can box me out? And that made me so much more mad to the point where I said, "Yes, that's my livelihood, bro."
It's my favorite line
Unbelievable.
Of all time.
Yeah,
that's I'm literally going to text you that once a week.
You should.
I'm using that all the time.
I remember
now.
Like 20 minutes later, I was like, "Did I just say that?"
Yeah, that's going to be a new drop on my Twitch channel.
It should be.
Yeah, it's just going to be.
It's my livelihood.
It's my livelihood, bro.
713-780-3776. We got a couple of good texts. Let's go to ABC Eric call again. Hey, what's up, Eric? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Paul. How you doing today?
Doing great. So you got a bit off too much you could chew trash talk story?
Yeah, so I was in the 10th grade and preseason football. I went to a Langham Creek inside fair, and I don't know what happened to the varsity quarterbacks, but they couldn't play. So they're like, "All right, you're gonna play this this scrimmage versus Stratford." Well, if anybody knows anything about Stratford during that time, who was their quarterback?
Andrew Luck.
None other than Andrew Luck.
Oh my God!
So we win the coin toss. You know, I'm the quarterback. You know, I'm out here feeling like I'm big.
you know, we win the coin toss. I'm like, man, I'm about to show this dude what's up. Because my dad was like, man, that boy's going to the league. Look at him throwing all. He's doing little pop passes before the game. He's like, I don't know. There's something about that boy. He's going to the league. So we get the ball. We you know, kickoff, touchback, 20-yard line. So I throw like a 5-yard screen pass. Kid takes it to the house. So I turn to Andrew Luck, and I'm doing the pistols. I'm shooting at him. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a long day, baby. It's going to be a long day. He just smiles at me and nods. We missed the extra point. He gets the ball. They get the kickoff. They down it. This kid, first play, he comes out and gun. Coach is like, oh, my God, what formation is that? We're all freaking out. Ain't nobody seen us. This kid out here like Peyton Manning. They doing motion. Everybody's freaking out. Dad looks at me on the sideline and was like, that boy going to the league. First play, Andrew Luck drops it 60 yards in this kid's bread basket wide open. He turns around and just gives me a simple wave. Dad looks at me and he's like, yep, he going to the league.
Because he's so nice, too. Oh, Eric, that's a fantastic story. And I'm sure it went down like that, too. My God. Because he's like, oh, it's me, and Luck.
Oh, he dogged me. He dogged me. And so, long story short, end of the game, they beat us 66-6. He threw nothing but touchdown passes. Coach was like, you know, you bit off more than you could handle. And then I got benched and never played quarterback again. So,
well, guess what?
Thank you, Andrew Luck.
Eric, we appreciate that call. And you did throw for a touchdown pass against Andrew Luck. So, I mean, we can always say that.
Yeah.
You were in a quarterback duel. It didn't go according to plan by about like 10 touchdowns or so. But you struck first. That's Eric, everybody. That was fantastic stuff. I love Eric. Eric's a good caller.
That's such a great story. He told it
the
so
finger
well
guns
too.
Is
the finger guns at Andrew Luck.
That's the nonverbal version of that's my livelihood.
That's worse.
Imagine just Andrew Luck being like, I got you killed.
I mean, in the moment, you would be feeling yourself if you just threw for an 80-yard touchdown or something like that. But then for it to just go completely downhill afterwards, that's to that degree.
I prefer that story. The only story I have against an NFL player is that Kevin Cobb juked me one time when I tried to sack him. Yeah, that's the literal only story that I have against a former NFL quarterback. So that's way better. He scored a touchdown against Andrew Luck.
We had my junior year of football, between junior and senior year, we had a spring scrimmage every single year. And it would be on a Saturday morning, and it would be before the actual spring game. So the whole junior class has gone to the prom for the first time. And some of us enjoyed. I didn't drink at the time, but we wake up the next day. It's 8 a.m. And we're like, oh, okay, well, we're not going to go up against anyone that good. But we all show up at the crack of dawn, and then we ended up like matched up with Largo High School in Florida. We're Shorecrest Prep. We're a like tiny little, you know, like all white kids, like private school. Were we good? Yeah, in our class. And guess what? You're hungover the day after the prom, and there's Dexter McCluster, who is the running back for that team.
Did that go well?
No.
Oh, okay.
And it was a scrimmage, luckily, so it wasn't like so. They would just go from the 40-yard line, but like, I mean, the kid was just like so much better than everybody else. And we're all like, yeah, okay, well, he's probably going somewhere, isn't he? We didn't know who he was because this is like back before the internet where you couldn't just look it up afterwards.
Right.
Like we had to, it took us like a week to figure out who the guy was. We were like, oh, well, damn. Okay. That explains a lot. Coaches did not really feel the same way, though, when they Googled up who he was. So, yeah.
They weren't nearly as excited to play against a future NFLer?
No, not so much. That was Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. And keep those stories coming. That was a good one by Eric. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Okay, yes, one man thinks that his city is better at winning than all the other cities. It's one of my favorite people. You'll hear him next.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, when your co-host knows you well, and Vanessa and I are getting to know each other every single day, but Josh knows all of my bad habits like the back of his hand. So we were talking about how this weekend, I you know, I had a good time, and today I had like a cold glass of water this morning, and it like physically ailed me. Josh tells me this like story.
It's like, and wasn't
he could
even
tell
long.
I spaced out. It wasn't
it's
long
like
at
2
all.
Minutes long,
and he could tell I just spaced out immediately.
I ended the story with maybe it was too much too soon. And I asked him, like, because I could tell that he had spaced out. He wasn't really paying attention, but I just kept rolling. That's what you got to do with Paul. I was like, where did you jump in at? That's what I asked him, John. Where did you jump in at? He's like, too much too soon. Oh, so the very end of the story. That's why I love doing this with you.
Non-confirmed diagnosis of ADD.
I'm gonna start telling you really important information in the moments that you space
don't.
Out.
Yeah. Don't. Please
and I'm
don't.
Gonna be like, I told you, Paul.
it does make me wonder, like, do I remember anything? I don't know.
You might retain it somewhere up in that noggin.
No, it'll come back like five hours from now. I'll be like, oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, he did tell me that
he told me something.
Are there ever times where you wonder if something you experienced was real or in a dream because you space out like that?
We're getting real
trippy. I do that sometimes because I space out like that too. I have really bad ADHD and it's unmedicated. So like there's sometimes where I'm like, I can't remember if that was real or if I hallucinated that.
I can't remember what I'm doing half the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I get a bunch of where if it's something that happened a while back, I'm like, did that happen to me or is that a story I heard?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, same.
There will be times where I have experienced something and I'm like, this is the second time that, like, deja vu, that feeling. But I get that all the time. And, like, this clearly did, like, and I'll remember, this clearly did not ever happen. There's no way it ever could have happened. Anyway, Russell Wilson is now the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And this is just the most insufferable quote as the summer of Russ continues. He wanted to explain why he chose Denver as his new home. Here he is.
It's been a blessing just to come here, you know, just to come to an amazing city like Denver, to be a part of it with so much amazing teammates and great coaching staff. But also, you know, I came here once the trade was going to happen, and I said, hey, listen, I want to make sure I go to a city that wants to win. I want to make sure I go to a team that wants to win. And I want to go to a city that knows how to win. And all those three things were checked off the box here in Denver. And so I think we got a chance.
A city that wants to win. Because no other cities other than Denver want to win.
Right. None of them. They just want to stay mediocre.
Not one. They all want to suck, in fact. Well, you know, to tank for draft picks.
Some cities don't want that responsibility. Some cities don't want to have to worry about the parades, the whole thing.
It's a lot of money.
Right. You got to maybe you take off work that day. You have to gas
production.
Is expensive right now. You have to drive to where the
closed roads.
Exactly. It's a whole thing. And some cities just don't know. They don't want to do that.
So this is essentially just the auto-tune version of Russ. Russ says things and like nothing actually that comes out of his mouth means anything. It's just like a bunch of hollow fluff.
That's how I made a career of this, by the way. That's exactly what I do. I'm the Russell Wilson of this career field.
Well, you haven't in one sentence said that I wanted to go to a city that not only wants to win but knows how to win.
Right.
What the hell does that even mean? And look, people like me from Boston will tell you, well, actually, yeah, we in Boston, we get that. But for the longest time, they didn't. No one knows how to win as a city. That is the craziest quote that I think I've ever heard.
Especially saying that coming from Seattle, where the fan base is known as, maybe erroneously, but known as the 12th man of the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, the Seattle fan base is strong. They care a lot.
They do want to win, I think.
Yeah, maybe, probably.
From what I could tell.
I feel like they know how to win. I think a bigger issue might be Pete Carroll maybe not running Marshawn Lynch from the one-yard line. Is that the city's fault? Did the city not know how to win
enough?
Because
they didn't know how to win.
Is that why they passed?
That's why they lost to the Patriots. Yeah, right, because the Patriots know how to win. Yeah, it's weird. Denver as a city knowing how to win, too. The Rockies and Nuggets suck.
Yeah. Did they know how to win with Drew Locke? Whose problem was that? Was that the city's problem?
This one's for John. It was a John Elway problem. John Elway and that Broncos organization did not do a very good job in terms of like finding a quarterback for years and years and years, and they're still looking for one, and we'll see if Russell Wilson actually ends up being that guy.
I feel like Denver, if they just knew how to win a little bit better, that Cortland Sutton wouldn't have torn his ACL.
Ooh, that's it.
I feel like Sutton's ACL is on Denver, and that's just one fudge up by the city.
You just, if you know how to win, yeah, it's different, okay?
It's just a different level of football.
It's anyway, look, he is who he is. Whenever I play, whenever I see a bit of audio from Russ, just play it. If you want to get angry Paul, bitter
just
Paul,
play.
Paul.
You know what? I'm going to be more subversive than that. I'm going to be way more dangerous than that. I'm just going to start sending you quotes that I mask as my own, and I'm going to put them within sentences that I send you, and it's just going to be quotes from Russell Wilson. So I'm going to
I'd recognize it.
I'm going to subconsciously throw it into what I'll do is I'll wait until you tune me out in the middle of a story, and I'll start throwing in subconscious Russell Wilson quotes.
Okay.
And then you're going to be like, why am I so angry after Josh told me the story about how he took his kid to the park this weekend? Mm. It's because it's going to be riddled with Russell Wilson quotes.
There's vigilance now, but you're right. A couple of minutes from now when I totally
forget.
You're going
to tune me out. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This will definitely happen
again. This is going to work tomorrow for sure.
So I'm going to troll you now instead, okay, because you brought this list to my attention. And honestly, I don't think that this guy's high enough on the list. So I know a lot of people, Dallas Cowboys fans out in the greater Houston area and Texas and stuff. You probably look at that Cowboys offense and think to yourself, thank goodness that we have a man who just constantly seems to be in a state of awe because his mouth's always open. Looking at his offense. What? His mouth's always open.
I see where you're going with
Kellen
this.
Moore, per Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus, one of my guys, he is the number two offensive play caller in the National
number
Football
two?
League.
They number have two. Him listed as number two?
Only Andy Reid is ahead of him. Number
Hold
two,
on.
Kellen Moore, three, Byron Leftwich, four, Kyle Shanahan, five, Sean McVay, six, Matt LeFleur.
Imagine putting a list, a serious list up there, and not laughing yourself home by putting Kellen Moore number two.
Because he's got to be number one.
Oh, geez.
You saw how many yards Dak Prescott got on that quarterback sneak.
That quarterback sneak to slide
out the
game.
Yeah.
Amazing play calling.
It was a great call.
The Cowboys, look, every once in a while, like, it looks like they go on a good run. Like, they'll have, like, a couple of really good drives in a game. And then the rest of the time, it's feast or famine. Like, the rest of the time, the play calling looks so mundane. It's like, this is the eighth time in a row you've tried to run it up the middle with Ezekiel Elliott. A, he's not that guy anymore. B, my God, that's not how the NFL works anymore. And how they couldn't capitalize sometimes. And I know they had a lot of yards. They scored a lot of points the last couple of years. But they did it in really inefficient ways sometimes. And how you couldn't capitalize on Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Dalton Schultz all being a part of that same passing attack sometimes.
They couldn't handle his play calling.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It was
his play calling was too good. Their minds aren't great enough. Imagine putting a list of best offensive play callers and having Kellen Moore above Kyle Shanahan, the architect of the of one of the most dangerous weapons in the NFL right now, of Deebo Samuel. And Byron Leftwich has been great too.
He has been, but there's another name missing from this list,
okay.
Tim Kelly, of course.
Oh, my God.
So he's up there, Kellen Moore, on this list very high. Who knows where Pep Hamilton's going to end up at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. Where do you think he's going to end up?
I do like him a lot.
I do, too.
It's hard to, once you get past, like, 10, let's be honest, like, yeah, it is entirely subjective. And also, some of these play callers, they're up high on this list because of the quarterbacks that they're working with. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, I know that some people get frustrated with Dak Prescott from time to time, and I would say last year, too, the fact that he didn't really scramble a whole lot was a little frustrating, but he's coming off the ankle injury. Moore is high on that list because of Dak Prescott.
Right.
Andy Reid's high on that list, even though Andy Reid has been historically a great play caller because of Patrick Mahomes. Byron Leftwich, I'm sure, has helped Tom Brady, but let's not act like Tom Brady needed a whole lot of help from the guy that's calling the plays.
I think one of the more impressive things for Byron Leftwich is not necessarily overall play calling, and he does have Tom Brady. It's the fact that he's all of a sudden, Leonard Fournette is like an actual good running back asset within that offense. They found a way to turn him into a weapon. I think that's more impressive for Byron Leftwich than anything.
He randomly has very good hands.
Yeah.
Which I remember thinking to myself when Fournette came out of LSU, like I did sort of look at him through the prism of, yeah, he's a bit of a one-trick pony. He's incredibly, like, strong and athletic and all those things, but he has become a lot more of a complete player while playing with Tampa Bay. He's had a weird career.
He's become a better, like, before it was run him between the tackles and he's going to get you yards. Now he's a better blocker out of the backfield. He's much better outside of the tackles. He has better hands. And it's crazy how they've gotten him to progress so late in a career for a running back, at least. Like, he's 29 years old now, and now
it's
all
weird
of a sudden
to think he's almost going downhill from here.
Right.
29 years old. People gotta get rid of him.
Somebody asked the question to me last week, like, is 31 old for a professional athlete? And I think in some sports, no, but in football, 31 is, I mean, that's a grandpa for a running back and a wide receiver.
If you're getting paid any amount of money on a second contract, you must be pretty damn good.
Yes.
And the thing with Fournette that gets held against him is that he was drafted as high up as he was. You shouldn't hold that against him.
Right.
I mean, that's not his fault he was drafted that early. Has he been as good as you would expect of a guy that's top five that's taken over some other quarterbacks? Definitely not.
Right.
But
and he started his career with the Jags, too. Like, there's a part of that where it's like, okay, he was with the Jaguars with not that great of an offense. He never really had a quarterback or an offensive line to deal with. So now he actually has those things that the Bucs have other weapons around him, so it gives him a chance to shine. But I think the way he's reinvented himself with the help of Byron Leftwich and that coaching staff has been pretty impressive. But I am a fan of Pep Hamilton. I'd love to see him kind of in that top 12 range. Maybe just make Davis Mills and the Texans offense look really serviceable. That way, when another quarterback takes over, we're really excited about it.
He is Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass, taking your call, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, the text number as well. Up next, we wrap things up with garbage time, and this is why Houston has a massive problem that none of you know about. This story that I'm going to share from you from the PGA Tour this weekend, it is a massive problem in Houston. I'll explain it next. Don't go anywhere.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. Killer Bees coming up at the top of the hour. If you've been listening to me talk on the radio in Houston for a long time, you've probably at least once heard me go off on a rant about this. I cannot stand the amount of parking lots in this city that for whatever reason have mandatory valet.
Yes.
You
have a big problem with this.
I don't understand why, if you have a big parking lot that you could park anywhere in, why there needs to be somebody that will park it for you valet style. How about just let me park the car I drove here? But this is everywhere. The main reason is because there is a certain establishment whose name I will not say that I have gone to. And every single time I have had issues with the valet people, including once doing a show there and having somebody interrupt me mid-segment to say that you need to go move your car because I got there before they opened. So I parked in the valet parking area. They said, you need to move your car now. I'm like, I'm doing a show promoting your place. You still need to go up and get it. But the worst was when I got there at this same restaurant at midnight. It was pouring rain outside. There was no valet person outside. I parked in the completely empty valet parking lot, and I walked in. And as I walked in, a valet guy came out and said, you can't park here. You can't park here, like yelling at me. And I'm like, and just torrential sheets are coming down on me. So I can't stand valet parking in Houston. There's too much of it going on. And when I saw that a PGA golfer had his car essentially just taken, he gave it to valet at the U.S. Open this weekend, and it's just gone. So he couldn't find it, and he essentially was just standing in the parking lot, holding up his thumb, trying to figure out where they all went.
That's insane.
Joel Dahmen is the golfer.
His car was
just gone. Now, I don't know what the follow-up is to this. I doubt that they left the camera on him for 3 hours to see what would happen to the actual car, but I feel like this happens a lot with valet. And I get it, okay? Like, some places say there's no parking lot. I would understand the idea of valet parking.
Right.
But when there's a parking lot and you can do it yourself and they are charging you $5, but expecting a tip on top of the already charging $5 when I could do this all myself. To me, it just drives me crazy. And that is, I swear, there's like maybe 5 to 10% of restaurants in Houston have a situation like this.
Where it's mandatory
valet. Mandatory valet in a parking lot that like doesn't need mandatory valet.
When Paul tells you guys he has a problem with this, I don't even think you understand. You guys have only had to listen to it when he talks about it on the air. This is something that I think that I've heard him talk about at least once every 2 weeks for the entirety that I've known him. Is talking about mandatory valet. I don't have as much of an issue with it, but that's also because I'm super cheap in the first place and don't go to a bunch of expensive places. I also live north of the wall, a.k.a. the
Cypress.
The Beltway. I live up at Northwest Cypress area. And I don't,
north of the wall.
I don't leave my neighborhood. I live out in Fairfield, out in the Cypress area, and I don't leave that area. Nobody's doing valet out there, right? Maybe every once in a while we'll have a complete police chase manhunt lockdown and I can't get out of my house for a day. That's totally fine, but we don't do mandatory valet, so I'm okay with it. So I don't have to experience it a lot. I think it would piss me off. Because I don't experience valet and I would never use valet in the first place.
I never want to.
I think it would, but this is one of my biggest fears. Is walking out after being somewhere.
Your car's gone.
And my car's gone. At least at a place, like if I go into an Academy or if I go into like a Harbor Freight, I don't know why I use that store as an example, whatever. And then I walk out and my car's gone. I'm like, okay, somebody broke in and stole it. But when I'm giving my car to the valet of a restaurant, I expect without a shadow of a doubt for my car to be there when I'm done, and this would be awful.
Yeah, or to have like all the door handles still intact.
Right.
Which the first of the four times that I had issues with this very one specific place in Houston that has valet, they broke the interior door handle and then asked me for a tip. And I said, are you bleeping kidding me? And I slammed the door. I was so mad.
They
and
asked then I had to go back to after they broke your car?
Yes.
No.
Yes. They broke the interior door handle. They said, oh, it was just like this. And I was like...
I would have been
you're
like,
the last person to touch the car. What are you talking about?
I'd have been like, okay, here's a tip. Don't break people's stuff. And then I would have gotten in my car and drove off.
Awful, awful. Anyway, that is what happened to Joel Dahmen. You would think, too, okay, it's one thing that it's a restaurant. Imagine you are driving your car to a PGA tour. Yeah, a PGA.
It's my livelihood.
Shut up. You take it to a PGA tour event. You give the car to somebody to park for you. And then they just lose it.
I mean, that's awful.
What if he accidentally gave it to not valet? What if somebody was pretending to be valet and he just gave his car away for free? And now it's in a chop shop somewhere.
See, that would be another fear of mine too. Like, I would be afraid that somebody wasn't. I heard of a story. Somebody was driving for Amazon Flex. It's like the new delivery service. They couldn't find customer service number on the app that you use for that delivery. So he Googled it. He looked it up. This is kind of his own fault. But he looked up a number that said Amazon customer service. The guy answered saying, "Hi, this is Frank from Amazon. How can I help you?" And apparently he had to give his information, his Amazon Flex account information and stuff like that. The guy got into his Amazon Flex account, got into his bank account and stole $2,500 from him.
Oh, wow.
In a scam. I'm constantly afraid that people are scamming me. That's why I don't even give any
valets
I don't
are
even give
always
my,
scamming you.
I don't even give my wife any information because I'm afraid that, hey, what if that's not really her? She might just be scamming me out of more money. And every time I give her my information, more money leaves my account. I'm just saying.
By the way, you know, just want to continue like this idea that valets are scams.
100%.
So I was I may or may not have walked through like an office building and seen like what a valet company could theoretically look like. And I was like, oh, so. Just like 80-inch screen TVs everywhere. Oh, that's where my valet money is going. Not even to the guy who's parking my car. It's just going to a bunch of your BS. It's a scam, guys. Anyway, it is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
For those who don't know, in the NHL playoffs, we're at the Stanley Cup Finals. It is the Tampa Bay Lightning. It is the Colorado Avalanche. And there is a man, per the Denver Post, who was banned from the Colorado Avalanche Arena for spreading his friend ashes on the ice with no regrets. Here's the thing. If you put ashes on the ice... I mean, the ice melts. The ashes aren't going to be there very long because of the Zamboni.
Right. Just let the guy do it.
Your friend's ashes are on the bottom of his Zamboni.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you don't have to ban him for life. I think the banning for life is ridiculous. I'm just wondering, okay, you couldn't have thought of a better place to bury the ashes than at center ice of a game where now, like, it's like Donnie's ashes being on John Goodman and the Big Lebowski.
Here's a much better thing to do. Here's a much, and this obviously would have been way more difficult than just spreading the ashes on the ice. Take his ashes, learn how to make a hockey puck, put the logo on there, and switch one of the official pucks that they use with your friend's ash puck.
Too much effort.
And then he actually gets to play in the Stanley Cup.
I mean,
that's a genius move. It's a lot of effort, but are you saying his friend wasn't worth the effort? Though?
Like, what if he's like, I'll go to his funeral, but like, that's all I really want
to do. How many people are going to spread a friend's ashes if their friend sucked? You're only doing that for a friend you cared about. And if you really care about your friend, you'll turn him into a puck and have him play in the Stanley Cup. That's the only way that a true friend would have done that.
Just
that's,
be beaten to smithereens.
That's a half-butt friendship move.
But what happens if the puck gets flicked out of the arena and into the crowd?
Doesn't matter. Was it on the ice playing? And then some kid's got an ash puck, and they're cherishing it forever. Some poor kid.
An ash puck.
Your friend's ash puck. He's literally just in the history of the game forever. Here's what happens. If you die getting punched in the face in a pickup basketball game, okay, because you're talking crap to somebody, if you want me to, I will take your ashes and I will turn you into a football. I'll get you turned into an NFL football, and I will have Tom Brady throw you around with his sons.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be better than just like being buried? You'd get to be thrown by Tom Brady.
That's
literally your dream.
That is true, but I feel like this situation, again, it's different. I think it's easier to do it with a football than it would be to do with a puck. The process of making it, that's rubber, right?
Yeah, but you just put the ashes in the rubber. It's like put it in the mold. It's just there.
I don't know.
If I turned you into a poly football.
You could inject me into the football.
I would leave your face intact. So one side of the ball your face.
It's like serial killer.
You'd be smiling. Like I'd have like some kind of taxidermist make sure
that
you're
would
smiling.
Be kind of
that way, like Tom Brady's throwing your smiling ashes football face.
It's Paul.
Yeah. Actually, I guess I wouldn't really need the ashes. I just need a little bit of skin.
They're going to use my eyebrows as the seams or something.
Yeah, 100%.
They can thread them into some thick seams. This is a weird looking football.
Hey, does anybody want to play polyball? Like, that's what we would call it.
Why is this ball so white? What's going on?
It's the palest football we've ever seen.
Ew, it's kind of gross.
Why is this football's beard all patchy?
Is he diseased? Well, hang on. You have the patchy beard. Josh Beard with the actual last name Beard. No, you don't have to be sorry.
That's the kind of trash talk we talked about. Like, you can't trash talk somebody for something that you have worse than them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. My beard is far worse than yours. Yeah, and I'm a walking oxymoron.
Well, you can do the goatee.
I can do the goatee. I can do the beard. It's just going to take time.
So that is Josh Beard. Josh is going to be back with me tomorrow. He's also going to be in for me on Thursday and Friday. So you like Josh Beard, come back for some more tomorrow at 10. For Sean Mapes behind the glass and for Josh Beard, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next.
ESPN 97.5.